Blessed be the name of the Lord. We thank the Lord for this day. It's another wonderful day to speak to the people of God. I know some may just be starting their day. It's usually very strange in this part of the world, but we understand how the world moves. We thank God for some are in the day, some are at night, some are at noon. And we thank God because we're all connected in the spirit. I bless God for how he has been taking us, what he has been teaching us, and how well we've been appreciating him from the beginning of the week. I especially thank God because he's able to show me how deeply he is compassionate about me, how deeply he loves me, how he has brought me out of the miry clay. Because in that miry clay, I was blind before I got in there. So he took me through that miry clay. He just smoothed that clay to make sure he washes me out of, just wash me clearly, cleanly, so that I can be on the rock to stay. We thank God for the witness that he has made me to be, a true witness. And I'm saying me because I want you also to personalize that and look at yourself. And I thank God for the fold wherein he has brought me. Blessed be his holy name. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we have come reporting for duty this day. We're grateful for all that you've done, all that you have taught us. We see daily and clearly, and we appreciate you in this month of December, looking back, how that your goodness have shined even through our heart. We thank you, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord, we pray, we ask that you speak to us this day and that you would brighten our heart. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we have prayed. Amen. Okay, we stopped yesterday, I think, verse 18 of the book of John, chapter 10, where our Lord was talking to the, he was talking about him being the great shepherd and the door. And from verse 19 it says, there was a division therefore among the Jews for this saying. The saying was too apt for them to accept. So there grew a division among them. And many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why would you hear him? These ones jumped into conclusion. They would not listen to the point of reasoning. They already concluded that Jesus had the devil, and I'm actually glad that people responded to them. And others were able to respond and say, these are not the words of him that had a devil. Now, we've experienced those who had devils before. This is not what they say. They don't speak the words that gives soothing and that frees the heart and the soul. And can a devil open the eyes of the blind? No. So I'm glad that there were some there, like you and I, who the word of the Lord pricked in their heart and who was able to respond accordingly. That is why we must always be in defense of the gospel at all times. When people speak contrary to the scriptures, we must be able to defend the scriptures. And at this moment, it was at Jerusalem. So let's take a step back a little bit. I think we started from chapter 9. But I think the whole journey actually started from chapter 8. We realize in chapter 9 that he met this blind man very close to the Temple Mount. The man was blind from birth. And he healed the blind man. He set him free. And this was what started a tussle between Jesus, or at least between the blind man first. And the blind man became a true witness of Jesus. And he became a follower of Jesus. And Jesus came back to that same place to talk to them about him being the shepherd, because I have sheep and I'm looking for the sheep. They are bleating everywhere. They're asking for me. I have not come to search for you. If you cannot hear my voice, then you are not my sheep. I'm coming for my own sheep. The blind man was one of them. I'm glad he received Jesus. And if you are one of them, you would be able to hear my voice. And not just hear my voice. I think I'm wrong. He said, know my voice. So that I might come into knowledge of him. That I might know him. And the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable even unto his death. So I'm that my sheep knows my voice, not just hear my voice, knows my voice. And so that blind man knew the voice of Jesus and he heeded that voice. And here we are, still in Jerusalem. It was the feast of dedication and it was winter, it was cold. It's winter here as well. It's gradually getting extremely cold here. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. And there came the Jews around him and said unto him, ah, you've been here for so long. You've just been coming up and down. You are like you're searching for something. It seems you're looking for something. Please tell us, how long will you make us doubt you? How long would it be that we would doubt you? Please just let us know. If you are Christ, tell us plainly. Let us just know plainly. Remember what Peter said when Jesus asked him, who do the people say that I am? And Peter said, oh, some said you are Elias and so on. But who do you say that I am? Peter said, you are the Christ of God. And Jesus said, tell no man of this thing. Now they are asking him plainly, oh, tell us please, let us know. If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus was being very cautious in telling them certain things. He was being very cautious about that. And we could see the similarity to these actually, right? We saw it in chapter 9 that we read earlier, verse 26 to 27. They would always come back as if they never heard what you've said before. And this tells us a pattern in the people who would not hear the word of God. You will tell them over and over and over again. They will keep their doubt intact. And they are simply waiting for you to make a mistake. For you to tell them what will make them take a stone and stone you to death. They came to that man, the blind man, multiple times. In verse 25, he says, he answered and said, verse 26, he said, then they said unto him again, what did he do? How openeth thine eyes? And the man, being tired, said, I have told you multiple times. You did not hear. And Jesus here, they been asking him almost the same question. Tell us, please. And Jesus answered, I told you multiple times too, and you did not believe me. So you most likely have had a blocked ears. Let's beware when we hear the word of the Lord over and over and over again and we remain obstinate. It's a clear sign that the devil is blocking our ears. It's a clear sign that the blind would always bring about a deafness of hearing. The blind will always bring about deafness of hearing. And when you see deafness of hearing, you will see dumbness, the inability to speak. When you are blind, you cannot hear and you cannot witness. Hearing, when the ears are open, first you can understand that which is being spoken to you. And in that hearing, the Lord can open your eyes. And in that process, you can be a true witness. Amen. You can be a true witness. Okay. I've told you, you did not believe me. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not because ye are not my sheep. You're not meant to hear me. You're not meant to listen to me. As I have said unto you before now, my sheep, they hear my voice. And I know them and they follow me. Because truly, when we read it earlier, my sheep, they know my voice. Amen. That is verse 4 of the same chapter. It says, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he called his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Now, verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life. Hallelujah. That is why we are here. Eternal life. That is what the Lord has given unto us. It may seem like I'm taking you back to baby learnings. No, it's not baby learnings. We have to remind ourselves of these things. Why are we here? Why do we believe? Why was our eyes open? There is a confidence. There is a hope that the Lord has given us. One, eternal life. And he had promised that we shall never perish. He said, they will never perish. And no man can pluck them out of my hands. For that I am rest assured. I can sit back and relax. Because if the Lord had opened my eyes and he had given me eternal life, and he has said I will not perish and I cannot be plucked out of his hands, that is eternal salvation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Then I can relax in the hollow of his hands. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. Then why do you think you'll be able to pluck them out of my hands? Because I and my Father, we are one. If you can't pluck them out of my Father's hands, then you cannot pluck them out of my hands. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And for this reason, the Jews took stones up again to stone him. Oh, the word says here again, because they've done that in the previous verse, I believe. That is chapter 8, verse 59. Says, because in verse 58 he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. In 59 he said, they took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, so passed by. In verse 25 of chapter 10, I want to go back there briefly, because Jesus asked them a question. He said, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. I want to kind of emphasize there a little bit. I have told you, you do not believe me. But the works that I do in my Father's name, what is that work? Remember, we said earlier, the reason why we were blind is so that we can showcase the work of God. Let's go back to chapter 9, verse 3 to 5. Jesus answered, neither had these men seen nor his parent, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. So the works that I do in my Father's name, what is that work? You and I are the works of God. And he says, they bear witness of me. That is, you and I are true witness of God. You see, we must be true witness of God. Otherwise, we proclaim ourselves not to be the works of God. If truly we are the works of God, we must be true witnesses of him. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Amen. I think now we are in verse 31, where they wanted to stone him. And verse 32, he asked them and said, many good works. You know, this man, I raised him up from the dead. I redeemed Brother Bayo. I gave eternal life to this brother. I gave this sister eternal life. For all these good works that I have shown you from my Father, for which of these works do you stone me? For which of them do you think that I should be stoned for? And the Jews answered him, saying, we are not stoning you because of the good works. We're not stoning you because your good works are witnesses of you. We're not stoning you because Brother Bayo preached the gospel. No. We're not against you speaking about the word of God openly. No. We're not against you, you know, proclaiming the power of God. No. No. What are we against you for? For blasphemy. What is that blasphemy? Because thou being a man, makest thyself God. We're not going to be against you for all this. But the moment that you live a life and a relationship that is true to God, that is a problem. There the devil is really, really eager to blast you. He is not ready and eager to blast you for going to church. Those are good works. I am a good work to God. I'm a witness of him. I can be a witness from morning to night. I am preaching here to you. I'm speaking to you all this morning. The devil is not trembling. He's not trembling. Honestly, he's not. If you think that because we listen to the sermon, the devil is trembling, no, he's not. The moment that I decide to live a life that is true to God, that I decide to have a relationship with God, the moment that I decide to stand for the truth, not just preach the truth, not just witness the truth, but that my life is now molded around the truth, that is the problem. That is what the devil doesn't want. For that reason, he wants to stone us. He is not afraid that you know that God is one. No, he's not scared. But the moment you want to live true to God, to that one God, yes, you have crossed his path. You have decided to draw a line on the ground, and now he is now going to battle with you. For that reason, that is why they want to stone us. We're not stoning you for the good works, but for blasphemy. And then 34, Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law? I said, ye are gods. Okay. If ye be called them gods, unto whom the word of the Lord came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Oh, your law. Let me put it to what we understand. The law of the nation says you must be well behaved. There is no single law in the world, I would say, that says that, oh, you must be a thief. Oh, you must be an adulterer. Oh, you must be this. No, every law wants a well-behaved, legalistic, moralistic set of people. Your law says that if your law could make someone good, how much more high that I am sanctified of the Father. I am sanctified of the Father. Right? And he has sent me into the world because I say I am the Son of God. Because I want to live even far above the legalistic principles you put on ground. Because I don't want to commit adultery. I don't want to fornicate. I want to live a life that is clean and free from sin. I don't want to change numbers in the office. I don't want to stay true to my God. I want to pray at the right time. I want to fast. I want to abstain, because I want to do all of those things. I thought you should be happy. No. But because I want to do all of those things, it breaks your legalistic principles. Because the law is set there to be a trap unto those who will be a sinner. And now I am above sin. For that reason, the devil is not happy. Because I can no longer sin. I'm no longer a sinner. The law is there to showcase sinners. The reason why the law is there is so that people can be in the prison. Now I can no longer be a prisoner. Now you are hungry. Oh my. I can no longer be a prisoner because my eyes are open. I can see the ditch on the ground. I can walk freely. my ears are open. My speech is opened. I can walk in a right, walk before me and be perfect. I can walk before the Lord and I can be a perfect person. Now the devil is hungry. Now the devil hits me on every side. Hits me on every side. Attack me on every side. Everyone hates me. Oh, you think you are the only better person? You think you are this? But yet, he said, I think it's written in your law. That you are God. I think it's written in your law that you must be upright. I think it's written in your law that you must be lawful. Right? You must be upright. Not perfect, but at least upright. You must be a good person. Be in good standing. So if it be called of them as one in good standing, unto whom the law was given, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father had now sanctified, I have been sanctified. And he has sent me into this world. He has sent Jesus into this world. Why then are you hungry because I say I want to be a son of God? Now Jesus said, if I do not the works of my Father, don't believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works. Believe, look at my life. Look at the life of my brother. Look at the life of my sister. Look at the transformation that has occurred in their life. And just look at that and believe that God is great. That ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I am in him. The Father is in Jesus and Jesus is in the Father. Then Jesus is in me, then I am in the Father. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And verse 39, they sought him again to take him. But as the previous verse we read in chapter 8, verse 59, he also escaped out of their hand. We would always escape. The devil will set a trap. The devil would always do everything possible. But because Jesus wept to save us, to have compassion for us, and he had taken us through this journey, as we're saying, the blind, to being opened through, and to going through baptism, his eyes being opened, the pouring of the anointing over his eyes, and all the way being a witness, and then coming into the fold, and our faith being greatly challenged. And here we are. And for every challenges, the Lord would always make us escape. Now, 40 and 41 and 42, and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John had first baptized, and he abode there. Jesus abode there, and many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John speak of this man were true. And many believed on him there. I'll tell you something while I just wrap up here. John did no miracle. Many things that John said were true. Many believed him there. That location is just beyond Jordan. It's above the Dead Sea area. It's a place where I believe, because looking and researching into the Essene groups, the Essenes group, there's a group of people, the sect of people called the Essenes. I believe that they were mostly located there. John lived his life in the wilderness, much like the Essenes, because they live outside of the people. They also live the wilderness life. And I believe that they were there, that location where the Essenes were, was a location where John grew up, was where Jesus went to. And that's why we see a lot of the documents they call the Dead Sea Scroll. Many of those were written by devout men who believed the scriptures, who also believed on Jesus, greatly believed on Jesus. Many of those were written by them. And so we thank the name of the Lord, because even by these men who believed on him beyond Jordan, we can see manuscripts today. We can see a lot of things today and say, wow, the Bible is true. The Bible is true. And so we thank the name of the Lord. And I want us to just remember that by that act of simple compassion from Jesus, Jesus wept. We can have a relationship with God. But that act of compassion, now we can have a deeper relationship with God. Remember that today as you go around. just appreciate him and thank him for opening that door for us to have a deeper relationship with God. Amen. Shalom.